its current state for Friday. Many thanks for all the emails we've been getting, too. Here, we've got a lot of great ideas for program segments and all kinds of feedback. We do appreciate it. Current state at WKAR.org. A few weeks ago, Democrats in the Michigan Senate, led by East Lansing's Gretchen Whitmer, announced that the Michigan 2020 plan is their highest legislative priority in 2013. The measure would offer some amount of free college tuition for all high school graduates in the state. It would be funded by eliminating almost $2 billion in loopholes in the Michigan tax code. One influential educator here at Michigan State University has come out against the idea. Dr. Donald Heller is the dean of MSU's College of Education, and he writes in a Detroit Free Press op-ed that the proposal is, quote, seriously flawed and should not be enacted, unquote. We're happy to welcome Dr. Donald Heller to Current State to talk about this. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for having me, Mark.
Could you briefly revisit the basics, then, of the Michigan 2020 plan as you understand it?
Sure. The basics of the plan, Mark, are that the Senate Democrats have proposed that every student graduating from Michigan High School would be given free tuition for 4 years of college at a cost of roughly $1.8 billion. So that's what the idea is. Everybody would get free tuition as long as they graduated from Michigan High School and attended a public university in the state.
Clarify for me, though, if they did not spend all 4 years in the Michigan High School, would they still get 4 years of college tuition?
Well, I think that's one of the details that would have to be worked out. The plan is fairly broad, as I understand it at this point. So I think as the legislation would be moved through, they'd have to work out some of those details. But the idea is to get the message across that everybody could go to college for free.
If they graduate from high school in Michigan.
Correct.
And there are a few problems with Michigan 2020 as you see it. What's at the top of your list?
Well, the main reason is, and let me say, first of all, I agree with the goal of trying to get more students into college and through to getting degrees at the end of the process. The main problem with the Senate Democrats' plan is that it's going to be subsidizing the college tuition of thousands and thousands of students who can well afford and their families can afford to pay that tuition. And if the Democrats can find $1.8 billion, I have lots of many better ideas of how they could spend that just related to education alone.
Okay. Where should that money go?
Well, one of the points I made in my op-ed in the Free Press is that it's not enough to simply give students money to be able to go to college. Students have to be prepared, academically prepared, to do college-level work. And lots of the students in the state who come from low-income, even middle-income families, don't have that level of preparation. So I rather see a lot of that money going and targeted as financial aid or free tuition for students from lower, middle-income families, as well as giving them more help and giving their schools more help to prepare them to be successful once they're in college.
So of $1.8 billion or so, you would suggest half go to low and middle income families that don't have the financial wherewithal to send a kid to college and half to improving K through 12.
Well, we could have a discussion of exactly how you would split the money. But the important thing is you don't want to be spending state tax dollars to subsidize families who can well afford to pay that college tuition.
Okay.
That's the idea. And we could discuss where the cutoff could be, but let's start with half and work from there.
I'm curious if you've had any contact with Senator Whitmer about this.
Well, I haven't heard from her. We did give her a copy of the op-ed before it ran in the newspaper, so she had some advance notice, but I haven't heard from her directly.
What's been the response to your op-ed? Have you gotten much?
Yeah, I've heard some responses. I've had some people who disagree with it, but a number of people, I think, agree with the perspective that in an era when tax dollars are very scarce, it simply doesn't make sense to subsidize higher-income people who can afford to pay for college. You know, the data are very clear, Mark. People from upper-income families are going to college, they're persisting through and getting degrees, and they simply don't need that subsidy from scarce state tax dollars.
How do you feel about early education? There is so much discussion about the early education thing. Should arguably some percentage of this money also go there?
Sure, absolutely. The governor had made early education a priority in his State of the State speech. Yesterday, when my op-ed ran, right below it was an op-ed from a VP from the Kellogg Foundation who argued that the state needs to invest more in early childhood education, and I couldn't agree with that any more.
There is also legislation making its way through the Capitol that would expand the authority of the state's Education Achievement Authority, the EAA. This is the recently launched body overseeing, I believe it's 15 failing Detroit schools. Supporters of expanding the EAA, mostly Republicans, say it's doing great work and it ought to include the lowest ranked 5% of the state's school. That ought to become a percentage, which would, I believe, bump that 15 number up, I want to say in the 30s or thereabouts. What do you think of this proposal to expand the EAA?
Well, I'm a little bit concerned because I think we need to see more evidence about exactly how well the EAA schools are performing in Detroit. And, you know, we're now about two-thirds of the way through their first school year. They got started very late last spring, and I think it's simply too early to tell whether they're successful or not before we decide to go ahead and give them more schools.
Most Democrats allege the program is too new, as you say, and we simply can't know for sure if it's working. They have a point then, in your view.
I agree with that perspective. I'd like to see some evidence that they are successful before we give them more authority.
How long should a program like EAA run before it's assessed with an eye to possible expansion?
Well, that's a good question, but, you know, at a minimum, I'd like to see a couple years' worth of data. You know, to be fair to the EAA, you've got to discount that first year, given how late they got started in that first year. So I would like to see a couple years' worth of data to see how well those schools and their students are performing before we go ahead and say, let's give you responsibility for more schools across the state.
Part of the rationale, I guess, of expansion seems to be that some number of schools are so clearly failing that they seem to be less interested in waiting for a more comprehensive assessment. Is it that desperate? That obviously, to some people's thinking, it is. It's that desperate that if something shows even preliminary signs of an improvement, then you go for it.
Well, I think you're right, Mark, that a lot of people have that perspective, that any other alternative is better than the current situation. But I don't even think we have the preliminary results yet to determine whether the EAA is being successful as opposed to other alternatives.
Do I have the numbers right on that, by the way? I think it's 15 in Detroit.
It's 14 or 15,
14
I believe,
or 15,
this year. Yeah.
And it's they want to expand it to the bottom 5%, which would, I want to say, at least double.
Oh, it would be more than that. I mean, I don't know how many schools there are total in the state, but it would be well more than doubling the current 14 or 15.
Now, a couple of days ago, the Michigan House Higher Education Appropriations Subcommittee advanced a bill that would take away 15% of state funding from universities that pass new long-term union contracts if those new contracts don't cut costs by at least 10%. Have you been following this?
I've heard the stories in the media, yes.
Okay. What do you make of that proposal?
Well, I think it's a very difficult situation to put the universities in. I think the two universities who were affected, Wayne State and the University of Michigan, I think were bargaining in good faith with their unions. They were trying to do what they believe is the right thing. And for the legislature to withhold some of their state appropriations simply for negotiating and agreeing on new contracts, I don't believe is fair to those institutions. And in the end, cutting money from the two universities is going to hurt the students attending those universities.
Now, one of the proponents of this measure, Representative Al Pasholka, maintains that the new long-term contracts really didn't amount to savings. Have you looked at it closely enough to know whether that there's any validity to that?
No, I can't answer that. I haven't looked at the contracts to answer that question.
Okay. What do you make of this pattern of the longer-term contracts being approved by local districts and universities as well?
Well, I don't believe that the universities or school districts, for that matter, are necessarily trying to get around the right-to-work laws. You know, universities and school districts in the state are under extreme amount of financial pressure, as you know. And they're simply trying to figure out the best way to ensure that they can deliver the services to their students, whether they're in K-12 schools or universities. And they're negotiating with their – I have to believe they're negotiating with their unions in good faith, and they're trying to do what's best, not simply get around the right-to-work laws.
Can we talk about the core curriculum proposal?
Sure.
As well? There is another movement afoot at the state capitol that would undo stricter educational standards that were passed about 5 or 6 years ago, if memory serves here. I want to say it would eliminate the hardcore requirement of Algebra 2 and foreign language requirements. There's a number of Republicans and even a few Democrats who say a student pursuing a vocational path, a non-college path, it shouldn't be held to that high a standard. What do you make of that discussion?
Well, I think the bill you're talking about was a piece of legislation introduced by Representative McMillan, and there was a hearing in front of the House Education Committee on Wednesday to discuss that bill. And basically what it would do would be to prohibit the State Board of Education from implementing the Common Core state standards. Now, these are the standards that have been agreed to by 47 states, including Michigan and the District of Columbia, and Representative McMillan's legislation would pull Michigan out of that. I think it would would be a big mistake. At that hearing, Bill Schmidt, one of our distinguished professors in the College of Education, testified at how it would harm the state if we did pull away from the Common Core state standards, and I agree 100%. I think it would weaken standards. I think in the end it would harm education for the state, and I don't think it's the right thing for the state to do.
Well, I mean, theoretically, how do you respond to a family who's got a young person who wants to study or is thoroughly planning on installing solar panels or going to work in HVAC repair or something like that? How do you justify that foreign language requirement, though?
Well, you know, Governor Snyder, in addition to making early childhood education a priority, has also argued we need more vocational and technical forms of training for students here in the state. And I agree with him 100% that we need to have better paths for students who don't necessarily want to go to universities and get a university degree. So we have to have some flexibility in the curriculum. But the Common Core state standards allow school districts to have some flexibility. They're not locked into such a rigid set of standards that they're not going to be able to develop, for example, more vocational tracks that would help those students who do want to go into some kind of trade when they graduate from high school. And I think this is a misconception about the Common Core state standards, that it eliminates local control when, in fact, local districts will still have a large degree of flexibility.
Real quickly, how do you like being at the top of the College of Education at MSU?
I like it a lot. It's a challenging job. I've learned a lot in the year that I've been on the job, and I have the opportunity to work with great people, and that's a great place to work.
Dr. Don Heller is the Dean of the College of Education. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Mark.